Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Syke.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So we're just a couple of minutes after 8 a.m. if you are kind of struggling to get your eyes open and your automatic radio just came on to get you up for the day. Welcome to the Investor Resources live radio program, which means we have a live telephone number if you want to call in and talk with us. 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. And it's not the only time you have an opportunity to talk to us today. We have a webinar right after the show. Well, quarter hour after the show. We need some time to break away from radio equipment and finish getting our webinar presentation set up. But you can join us if you have not yet registered. There is still time to do so. You go to irradio.com, lower left-hand corner is the web registration. Couple of clicks and your name, email, and you will be set to get a link to join us today. And I see that we have a registration already that just came in from Michael.
Nice.
So it's one more person who's going to be joining the crowd watching our update on the market. And the market needs a lot of updating for perspective.
Isn't that the truth?
But anyway, we'll talk about your portfolio positions that you have or a recommendation that your friendly neighborhood financial advisor has said, yeah, you really need to do this. And you're wondering, do I really need to do this or not? Well, give us a shot. We will see if we can. We will certainly add a second opinion. Every now and then, we run into a subject that we don't track, and therefore we probably don't have an opinion. But who knows? If you've got questions about something in your portfolio of the market, now's a good time to try and find resolution. 888-312-5757. When you're looking at the market, there are always decisions to be made and perspective to be had. There's a quote from Ian Wilson. He's a former GE executive that I thought just really puts things in perspective. Quote, "No amount of sophistication is going to ally the fact that all your knowledge is about the past and all your decisions are about the future." And there is the conundrum for investors.
That's a description of what it takes to be an investor. That's exactly what's going on out there.
Well, that's what it is in life. That's the way life works. But when you deal with the market, there are tons of analysts on TV, radio, and in subscriptions, various subscription sources. That business is still active. And all of their descriptions are of data generated out of recent to long-term history. Most portfolios today are actually built out of long-term, very long-term historic averages, disregarding the current market environment. And that is, in our opinion, a path to disaster in your retirement planning or your college planning or any future cash needs that you believe you need to prepare for. So analysts have to look at the past because that's where the data comes from.
You can't. It's really, if you could find one that could actually look at the future, that would be worth somebody have a long conversation with. But everybody's got to look backwards, and it's just a matter of how far back you're going to look and how far into the future you're going to extrapolate that that data. And that's where people get off track quite often.
Well, and that's the important distinction. Analysts and value investors, for instance, often are looking at the last 10 years of how does a corporation make money? What are their sales? What's their margin? What's the revenue stream they have? Do they have product that's still in demand? So you need to go back and look. If you're going to do the math on formulas for a given company, and then analysts make a bet about the future. We use past data also, but we don't go back 10 years. Now, we may go back 10 years to illustrate a point about why a decision should be made differently, and you can see some of that if you join us for today's webinar. If you have not registered yet, irradio.com, lower left-hand corner, will get you there. A couple of clicks, your name and an email address, and you'll be all set. And I see Christian just registered, and who's this? Well, there's an anonymous. All we have are initials. HL has registered again for today, so the numbers of attendees is increasing. Anyway, we are trend followers, and there are a lot of people and a lot of very successful managers who are trend followers. The question here is the point you just made, Perry, and that is, what's your time frame? In our case, we continue to focus on the most recent market, and we define that as the last 21 trading days, so roughly a month. It's not exactly, because some months are shorter and some months are longer as far as number of trading days, but it's in the range. And instead of using 4 weeks, which would be 20 days, that's a number that a lot of algorithms focus on. And so part of our 21-day rationale is it improves the odds of not being caught up in some sort of computer program making an aberrant move on the chart.
Which they will do, which they definitely will do. And it's good to, if you have the opportunity, steer clear of the times when that might be happening. And there you go, Don. That's the reason for the 21 days.
Well, and when we're looking at charts, which is how you track a trend, you start with one price and you follow that price and you draw a line through the prices on the chart. That's a trend. And so one of the things that trend following does is tell you when you made a bad decision, because most investors, based on decades of behavioral finance, most investors do not want to admit they're wrong, and they will hang on to a losing position. John Templeton comes to mind. He was one of those guys. In fact, his annual investor stockholder meeting for his mutual funds, people would often say, but you bought XYZ, and all it's done is go down and down and down. I mean, it's a lousy company. Why? And John's response was always, you give me 10 years, and I will be right. Well, so that begs the question, how many years are you willing to be wrong about an investment that you have in your portfolio? Maybe not because you picked it, but your advisor said, well, you have to have this because this is the way we do things.
This is the great place to be. And if you're wrong for a decade, we think you're wrong. You're not early, and you didn't just miss it. You missed it by 10 years. And so that was a bad decision, and it might be a good decision at some point. But to sit on anything that's losing for a decade just makes no sense to us. And that's exactly how that pie chart portfolio works, though.
Well, it does, and I see we've just got another registration for today. That's Mark who just registered. It reminds me, Perry, of going back to 2011, and we were on a smaller station at the time, but in June of 2011, we told people it's time to get out of emerging markets, and it's time to get out of gold. Now, what's happened to both of those assets since then? 2011, let's see, that's 2011, 2021. Yeah, my math says that's 10 years ago.
Good job.
Thank you. That's why I'm in this business.
That's it.
The math is right off the top of my head. But we told people, you got to get out of both of these. These no longer make sense to be in your portfolio. But the people who use standard asset allocation, broad diversification, know you always got to have foreign stocks in your portfolio. No, you don't. when they're losing money year after year after year, you are simply running a boat with your anchor dragging off the bottom of the sound or the lake, wherever you happen to be. You wouldn't do that if you were out on the water in any type of watercraft. But in your portfolio, oh yeah, leaving your anchor in is the standard practice. Unless we're managing your money and we think that practice stinks.
It's just not practical to have a portfolio built where part of it is always supposed to be losing money, and that's the way it functions. You know, this is part will go up and part will go down, and we're gonna ride this higher over, you know, extremely long periods of time. They just use it because it's easier for the firm who's handing that out. Now we don't have to do any more work. We just have to watch this thing unroll and keep telling everybody, well, if you hang on to it long enough, we'll be right. And that's generally true. The problem is, if you're in retirement or you're building for a goal on a specific date that you need your money for, you're not going to make it doing that. It's just not going to work for you.
So if you're not clear about what we're talking about, there's an opportunity to get clarity by joining us right after the show today, 9:15. We will be doing our monthly stock market update. Go to iriradio.com, lower left-hand corner of the website, couple of clicks, and your name and email, and you will be set. And if you cannot attend today, but you still want to know what's up, register anyway. We will send you a replay link once the recording has been fully processed at gotowebinar.com. Let's take our break right now. I don't think we're a couple of seconds ahead here, but this is a good time to do that.
Sure. If you guys want to talk this morning, we'd love to talk to you. If you have questions out there about your portfolio or anything to do with the markets, give us a call, 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. And again, you can register still for our monthly market update. Just go to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Head to the webinar page and give that registration link a click. You'll get an email back right away this morning, and it'll be good to go at 9:15. Again, that is iriradio.com. Let's see. We're going to get out here for a quick break. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Live and local, you're listening to Investor Resources. This is your opportunity to call in and have your questions answered. The lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Or email your question to help at iriradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking.
Well, a real big spender. Yep, the Senate has thrown in the towel with the administration and decided they want to be counted in on the massive amount of additional spending, which they have told us for months was going to be paid for. And this Congressional Budget Office this last week said, not so much, guys. You're off by $250 billion. A quarter trillion.
Oops.
Oh, no.
Just a rounding error. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah. But it at least did cause some senators to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. We promised that this was going to be a freebie, no cost. Well, no cost means there's more than 30 new taxes built in the bill. And they're going to infrastructure means that for the very small percentage of people in the country who are driving electric vehicles, we need to help them out by building a nationwide network of charging stations to be paid for by the rest of us who are still using gasoline and diesel, which really raises some interesting issues because Elon Musk started all this stuff. People who have cars, e-cars, they figured out how to drive them where charging stations are, for the most part, they aren't driven very far. That's reality.
Got to be able to get home. That's right.
Yeah. And nobody's thinking about how do we actually make this system work, because an e-car requires something like 4 or 5 times more copper than the cars we're driving today. They weigh more, so they require much more aluminum to be able to handle the weight of a very heavy, non-recyclable battery, which after about 120,000 miles is going to go into a landfill because there's no way to recycle the stuff that's in them. It is going to require an increase in imports of rare earth materials. Think copper, lithium. I mean, there's a whole list of rare materials. And we have some in our country, but it's bad policy to let anybody do mining in the United States. So we're going to give the business to China. Go back to copper. I've talked about this several months ago. There is not a single country in the world that has an application pending for a new copper mine. The existing copper mines are on their, globally, are on their last legs. In fact, they're not mining much in the way of copper. The new copper coming into the user system is stuff that was dumped over on a pile because it wasn't high enough quality at prices that exist at the time to worth processing. Well, now they're digging through the pile and say prices are high enough because the product's rare enough, we can afford to give people this low-grade copper. If we're going to get a new copper mine, 16 years away before it will be in production. That's between filing an application, defending it in court that it's something that is not going to destroy the environment, and actually starting to mine enough material that we can then process it into a usable copper. So we instead of worrying about charging stations nationwide, we should figure out how are we going to actually get these cars built and serviced. We need to start with how do we get the product, and that's mining. And nobody wants to talk about mining. It's just completely backwards. Oh, and the movement to have all car, well, 50% of car production e-cars within 8.5 years in the bill. Nobody wants to talk about it. In the bill, the government is guaranteed to buy the cars. You and I, taxpayer, may not want to pay the bill, but they're going to give it to us anyway.
Nice. We love
that. Well, that's the big spender coming out of the Senate now who has said, Mr. Biden, we're on your side. Help us get reelected. Moving on to the market and the economy.
We do have a caller waiting, Don. We've got
I missed that.
We've got Bob. Bob in Eatonville. Bob, go ahead. You're on the air with Don and Perry.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the call.
Good morning. You bet.
I have a question as far as diversifying investments. What is your recommendation for hard investment versus the cash-based investment? Hard investment, I mean, being in the gold, silver line versus a cash-based stock.
Well, we don't own and we don't hold hard metals in our account. We do hold them in securitized forms when they make money. But there's enough debate on inflation and whether or not it's actually going to be problematic that securitized gold investments have rallied once in a while only to turn around and collapse below major levels of resistance. So it's a personal opinion. Now, Perry, it sounds like
but
you've
don't
got
have,
something
yeah,
to
we,
add to
we
that.
Do not have a specific percentage that we want to keep in hard assets versus cash. bearing assets. We don't. We let the market drive those purchase and holding decisions. So if gold and silver are doing well, we're going to own it. And if it's doing poorly, we're not going to own it. And the amount we own is going to be based on how well it's doing, not on any specific percentage that we keep in a portfolio all the time. That's always fluid.
So your question, Bob, is really tied to the way the financial services industry has, I'm going to use the word brainwashed as opposed to programmed the public about how to diversify a portfolio. This basically says, we have no clue what's going to happen in the future. True. It's true for us too. Nobody does. So let's just own a bunch of everything. And someday is going to be the right day to have owned it. We do not believe that. We used to operate under that assumption, but after the tech bubble and the financial crisis in 08 and 09, that blew that theory to smithereens. And our position now is you own things that are going up, and when they quit going up, you sell them and buy what is going up, which what Perry just said. When gold's working, we have owned it. When it quits working, we take it out of our portfolio because it no longer glitters. It becomes an anchor. So your question is based on this long decades of programming. You got to own everything. And if you're watching Saturday and Sunday TV, there's hours of TV telling you if you don't own gold because the world's coming to an end, you're making a bad decision. Well, when the world comes to an end, nobody's going to buy your gold anyway. It's not worth anything. It's only worth something as long as there's still a cash-based economic system where somebody's willing to give you money for your hard asset. Yeah. So, Bob, that's a great call, great question. Thanks for listening. If you haven't registered, do so at iriradio.com. Kathleen just registered. We just had John register. We've got Bob registered, and Glenn did just now. And we've got Mike who just registered. So there's a bunch of people that recognize there's still time to join our webinar at 9:15 right after the show. Go to iriradio.com. A couple of clicks on the lower left-hand corner of the website, your name and email, and you will get a link. If you cannot join us, you'll get a link to watch it on your own time when we get the replay link sent out. But that frees up a line, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. You know, the government is telling us that if we will consent, not that they ask us our opinion, to put ourselves into another $4 trillion worth of national debt, which is above our national debt ceiling. They haven't addressed that issue yet. That we are going to be a much more prosperous country. The problem is, at some point in time, most of us, I think, have asked, how the heck are we going to pay this money back? It never seems to be enough. Congress knows how to do two things, spend and tax. Oh, three, get reelected. Spend and tax. But what really drives the economy and makes it healthy is you and me as consumers, and we do more of that economic stimulation when we borrow money ourselves, because unlike Congress, we are forced to be responsible about how much debt we carry.
It seems like anybody who will lend us money is concerned about paying it back, and they want it paid back on time, and that's something that Congress is not used to.
What a concept. Yeah. I'm going to loan you some money, but don't worry about it. You know, if you can't pay it back, yeah, it's okay with me. Well, I have never run into that situation my career.
That banker has eluded me my entire life. So.
So there are concerns about personal debt, household debt, student loans, credit card debt, auto loans. Well, credit card debt over the last year in no part thanks to the additional handouts that the government gave. They basically gave people money, and almost half of them said, you know, we can pay down our debt. We can get rid of credit card balances. Maybe we can free up the car. We can pay down student loans. A lot of people looked at that cash, which Congress wanted you to go out and just spend, and you didn't. You behaved responsibly because you knew there was a day of accountability coming on your debt, and you took care of it. And it's when we treat debt in that manner that we actually do have the ability to stimulate the economy, because we use the debt to buy things that we need. Now, we buy things that we want in the future, and the debt gives us the cash to buy them now, and that puts people to work. That is the fractional banking system, which we discussed in last month's webinar, how personal debt amplifies the amount of money in the economy, which keeps people employed, keeps businesses running. Managed responsibly by homeowners, by individual borrowers, that system works. When you look at Congress, there's a day coming when this does not have legs under it anymore. We just don't know when that day is.
Sooner or later, it runs out of room to just keep kicking the can down the road, which is what they're so good at. But eventually, you're going to have to deal with it, and that's going to be a scary day, especially for them. Number one, to explain how we got where we are, and number two, trying to pretend that there's a decent way to get out, because it's going to be very, very difficult. We are at the bottom of the hour. We have Shane from Tacoma. On the queue there. We'll get to you right after the break. We'd like to remind everyone that this morning is our August market update. You can still register for that by going to IRIRadio.com. That is IRIRadio.com. Go to the webinar page and give the registration link a click. You're going to get a link back this morning, and at just after 9, click that link. You'll be live online with us. We're going to talk about the economy, the markets, and we always have plenty of time for your questions. So if you have questions about individual securities you own, questions about trading in and out of the market, questions about the economy, it's a great time to get some clarity on those items, get some second opinions on anything you own, and we always get to everyone's question when they're on there. So again, go to IRIRadio.com. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We will be right back.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away.
Yeah, everybody knows you're supposed to buy low and sell high, but the corollary of that is in order for it to work, you have to be willing to sell high to protect your cash so you can buy low when the damage is done. Anyway, we have Bob from Eatonville. Bob, you're on the line.
We got Shane from Tacoma on
Shane,
there.
Shane, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bob was the last call. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time reading my cue sheet here. Okay. Thanks, Bob. Anyway, hi, Shane.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I've apparently had better days. Go ahead, sir.
I'm just trying to find out, you know, I've done well in my retirement account with stocks, like blue chip stocks, I guess you call it, or FANG stocks. Do you recommend selling those stocks and turning it over to a managed account?
Well, that depends on what your managed account is going to do from an investment policy. What's different that they're doing that you're not doing or think that you can't do on your own? The FANG stocks are drivers. Some of them, I guess, we might call blue chip, but a lot of them are in speculative mode. When you talk about blue chip, I typically think of major companies with long track records of consistently raising their dividends. That's kind of a value approach, looking for growth plus income. And that's usually part of a conservative, moderate investment policy. But just because they're, well, raising dividends on a regular basis, consistently raising them, is a sign of quality management. Board of directors has got control of the company and a CEO that they overlook and who's doing a good job. But the assumption is if I own those stocks, my capital is protected, and that's not the case. In fact, seeing your question, I looked up a couple. PFM ticker is Invesco Dividend Achievers Portfolio, and it's been around since the early 2000s. In the great financial crisis and the market collapse, even though the dividends were still coming in, the account value of that exchange-traded fund dropped 41% over from high to low. I looked at another one, Noble, N-O-B-L, which we happen to have in one of our portfolios, is during the last year's market crash, was down 35%. Now, dividends still kept coming in. In our portfolios, however, we were in cash for the majority of that decline and then stepped back in the market. So we sold high, had extra cash to buy back in after prices started to rise. If that's the type of policy you're looking for, then that probably will do you well. If it's just simply a version of buy and hold, and you know it'll always come back. Sure, it will. You just don't know if it's 10 years or 15, like after the tech bubble, or if it will be historically record-setting like it was last year. Will Congress or the Fed dump trillions of money into a collapsing market the next time around to artificially create a resurrection? We don't know that. That would be a bet.
And Shane, your question about should you sell those and turn the money over to manage that is really driven by primarily you. You've been doing this yourself. You said you've been doing very well. What happens is so often investors begin to get uncomfortable. They start to get a portfolio that begins to get large. Then when the market starts moving around, the dollars that come and go quickly in their portfolio begins to get more and more troublesome. And at that point, people start to feel a little overwhelmed. You start to feel like you don't really know enough about what's going on in the market. And it's perfectly reasonable at that point when you no longer feel like you're in control of what's going on in your portfolio. There's no reason not to start shopping around for someone to move those to. But we never tell someone automatically, yep, you should hire an advisor. You need to do that. There are lots of people that are very good at managing their own money. And it's just a matter of, are you comfortable with the level where you are managing it yourself?
Yeah, I think you just pretty much explained to me because of all the movement in the
right.
Since I did so well and the portfolio is bigger now, it's like it's too much stress to be watching it go down.
You're not alone. You're not alone, Shane.
Dollars.
Yep, that's a very, very common reaction.
And the only thing is, you know, recently I did do a partial to a managed account, and I look at some of the stuff that they're doing because I'm able to do that online.
Sure.
And I'm seeing that they're doing buying the same stuff I already had. I'm like, well, what's going on here? I could have just saved the 1% and just did it myself. But
sure,
I don't know if they're banking money and doing other things. So I'm not sure. I mean, I just recently did it, so I'm not.
Well, the question I would make sure and ask them is, what are you going to do to protect my capital? If the market begins to tank, what are you going to do to protect my capital? And if the answer is, well, we're diversified and we're just going to ride it through, that's a bad answer. You know, they're telling you, you're going to take a big hit, and then we're just going to wait as long as it takes for it to come back. And it doesn't sound like you're comfortable with that kind of a process. And you should find out ahead of time. You know, you should find out right now before we get into the next drawdown, which, of course, we know is coming, but we don't know when. And ask them, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to protect my portfolio? portfolio in a down market and see what they say.
Is there such an account as, hey, here's $1 million. I want to make 8% a year. Can you guys guarantee me 8% a year on $1 million?
Nobody's going to do that.
Is there such an account?
There's no guarantee out there. In fact, it's against the law for us to even mention that we would guarantee a return to you of any specific value.
Does something like that even exist? I'm not saying take the guarantee out of it. Yeah. Does that something like that exist?
No. The last person that had highly regular, consistent returns, almost identical, up market or down market, that was a total scam. So, and it usually is. The markets don't work that way, and you're going to have wildly different outcomes year to year because that's what happens with the. With the markets, everything trades like trades way up, trades right way down, and no one knows what's coming off unless your last name's Madoff. So, Bernie said he could do it, but he was the last one. So,
yeah.
So, Shane, one of the questions you should ask that Perry just raised is not just what you're going to do to protect my account in the next down market. Ask them, what changes did you make last February and March to protect clients' accounts from the market drop that occurred? And then how did you get back in the market? Those two questions will, and as Perry said, well, we're diversified, and the market will come back up. There's no active decision to protect capital in a protracted bear market in 85 to 90% of people's portfolios. And we're going to cover that in a little bit. And what you pointed out is something that if it's not in one of today's items that we were going to cover, which we're not going to get to, I'm going to cut it in now. And that is, it's hard to define that my investment success is due to being lucky versus I had a policy decision and I followed the policy and the policy gave me my returns. Which means if that's the case, the policy will also protect your capital. But if you just happen to be an investor at the right time of the market, and the further up the market gets, the more people think that luck was smarts, when in fact it was luck. And luck won't get you out of a falling market. The guillotine is at work in those conditions. And most investors have no policy to bring an end to that. We do. You should register for today's webinar. If you want to call us during the week, we'd be glad to take a look at your portfolio and give you our view of how we view these things and how we would make decisions on that. And I'm going to illustrate that briefly in part of today's webinar. Go to irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner is the website registration. Yes. Couple of clicks and email, and you'll be joining us today. If you can't join us, we'll send you a replay link. That's a good call, Shane, and you are absolutely in the right frame of mind to be worrying about that. Anyway, that does free up a line. Magic numbers, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. And while we were talking to Shane, Tom registered, and Gary registered, and Max registered, and Max registered twice. He's really interested. So
he's going to listen with both ears. All right. That's good.
Yeah,
good day.
So we were talking about whether or not we really have a stimulation for the economy, and that is the proper use of debt at the household and business level. One of the things that's going to support our economy over the years is for everyone who has been able to refinance their home mortgage, they are saving tons of money. Because if we just go back a few years, late 2018, that's 3 years ago, mortgage rates on a 30-year mortgage were 5% plus. Today, you can turn around and get a mortgage, depending on your credit rating and your equity, maybe below 3 monthly. That's a huge amount of savings when you take it and multiply it over all the people in the country that have mortgages that are refinancing them. That is discretionary income that will generate economic growth longer term. That's not the same has the Senate saying, let's spend another $4 trillion and pray this works.
Which is all they're doing. That's what that's the only thing they ever do. Let's see it. Let's see how this works. But let's spend the money first. And with the, like you said, Don, with the rates being so low and mortgage debt being far and away the largest debt holding in the United States, that does free up a lot of cash for the economy. That's a very good thing, and it's very good that rates are probably going to stay low for a long, long time, the way things are looking right now. So it's that helps the economy stay healthy, and that's one area where low rates actually assist in keeping the economy churning. So that's a good thing. We are up against our last break of the morning. We will get out of here for a quick break. I'd like to remind everyone, we are having our market update right after the show today. You can register for that at iriradio.com. If you're not getting our Week in Review, which is our weekly email newsletter, you can register for that by sending us an email. Send it to help@iriradio. Just put Week in Review in the subject line, and we need your first and last name in the body of the email, and you will begin receiving that this Monday. It's easy as can be. We still have plenty of time to get your call on the board. If you've got a question about the markets or the economy or investments of any kind, give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Detour, there's a muddy road ahead.
If Congress actually passes this $3.5 trillion plus the other $5.75 billion dollars that they're talking about, calling all sorts of social programs infrastructure, so they think they can get away with it. If they do that, there's likely to be a very muddy road ahead. And there's already signs in the market that there's some level of discouragement among investors about what is going on with current government policies. The indexes, the indices, NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow have put in new highs, but not because the market is healthy, but because there's a handful of stocks that are being used for buyback programs to prop up the index so investors don't get scared with what's going on most everywhere else. So while we're on break, Neil registered for the webinar. If you haven't done so, there's still time to do that. Go to iriradio.com. If you can't join us today, you'll get a replay link to watch it on your own time. And you can still call us with questions during the week on our office line, 800-317-9119. We have Mike from Everett with us on the line. Mike, you are live on KVI.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Fine, thanks.
Doing good, thanks.
Good. So my question hinges upon the last caller who asked the pointed question regarding getting a guarantee in the marketplace of 8%, which I'm a regular investor, have been for years. I'm in my 50s and I'm positioned in the market with a lot of money, and I'm considering doing what he was looking for, which is getting a guarantee, which I can do through a variable or fixed annuity and get, you know, maybe 6%, thereby protecting my capital. And I know that annuities have surrender charges and such. But rolling that into an annuity protects my capital and gives me a guarantee. Do you guys often recommend annuitizing large sums of money to do exactly what you are telling your investors on the air to do, protect their capital?
Well, we don't sell annuities and haven't since we surrendered our insurance licenses in our former lives when we sold those things. And we became fiduciaries. So first of all, our position is for you to recognize that whoever's selling you the policy is not a fiduciary. They are a salesperson whose job is to convince you that this is in your best interest. You are going to have to make that decision. You have to consider what the guarantee is. Insurance companies do have the benefit of a large pool of fixed income. So they have some steady cash flow from all the bonds and mortgages that they've bought over the previous decades. The new money coming in, committed to the bond market, is going to generate somewhere in the 1.5% range over the next 10 years. In the stock market, if you take a look at what stocks have averaged, what the S&P 500 has averaged since 2000 is less than 6%. So the last couple of years, there's been a real ramp up of speculation in the indices. However, the broad market actually has been in decline from the mid of 18 until the bottom of last year. And things have picked up as the economy comes out of the COVID collapse. So where are they going to get this return? You're assuming the insurance company is a mastermind of managing stocks, which I think you'd have a hard time proving. Guaranteeing you a return, for the most part, is in the first 15 or 20 years, that guarantee comes from they know all they have to do is give you your money back and hope you do not outlive the time frame. Their only risk is what happens after you've gotten all your money back. And they will eat the losses on the downside, but they're going to retain most of the gains in excess of that return. So you have to decide which one's more important to you. When we talk about not losing money, it's because that's a process of making a decision based on current data. Not trusting somebody else's process will work in the future. And even insurance companies go belly up. And Metropolitan Life comes to mind, which was the insurer of primary liabilities for the Pierce County Medical Association, where most physicians had placed their pensions. And MetLife went TU. And the pension money.
I did not know that.
And the pension money, I had a client, he was in it. And as a retired physician, I mean, they took, I think, something around an 85 or 90% haircut on their income stream when that happened. An insurance company in Spokane went under back a couple of decades ago, and the same thing happened. The policy stayed in place, but the cash in the policies was cut on a pro-rata basis to what can this insurance company be sold for, and it wasn't sold for very much when their books were out of whack.
Makes sense. That's a good answer. In a nutshell, your means of protecting capital is just actively managing extensively and scrutinizing everything that's in the marketplace from day to day.
We do look at it every day. Yeah. A couple of our portfolios, we don't trade every day. But we are concerned about changing conditions in the market, so we are not caught off guard. Anything we can do to not be caught off guard, we are going to do. And if you join our webinar, or if you can't today, register anyway and get the replay link, because I am going to show you what we did to protect capital in the last meltdown last year, which is the same thing we did if we go back to 2018, when the last quarter of the year, the market's down 20%. Well, 19 point and a fraction, just shy of 20. But we were in cash. We protected capital. You have to be willing to sell high to be able to protect that capital and buy low. And when you do that, you accelerate your returns. And that guarantee, while it is emotionally satisfying, does not mean you're going to be financially better off in the long run.
And we always like to remind clients that if they're going to guarantee you any specific amount, that means they know for sure they're going to be making more than that. So you're getting what's left over. And the annuity, of course, as far as we're concerned, they're just unreasonably complicated products. And it's really tough to convince us that it's a good idea to get into an annuity, which is why we no longer sell them at all.
So you mentioned, you know, they have redemption penalties. So one of the ways to figure out whether or not you believe the recommendation is in your best interest, look at the first year redemption penalty. That number times the amount of money you're going to give them is the commission that's involved. So I've seen them as high as 10%, but let's just say it's 6, which I think is relatively low. So you give them $500,000 for this guarantee, and the sales agent and his supervisor are going at 6%. They're going to get $30,000 this month. They are going to love you this month, not so much next, unless you've got another $500,000 to put in it. So put their job in perspective. They're salespeople. They're not fiduciaries. When you walk onto a car lot, you understand the game is converting your assets into their commission, and you keep your hand on your pocketbook until you're absolutely satisfied. And when you drive off a car lot, you have a good idea that you know what you got. In a life insurance or an annuity sale, it's the same relationship. Keep your hand on your pocketbook, but when you write the check and transfer the money, I doubt you have the same clarity that you do when you leave the car lot. Just saying, think about it. Mm-hmm. Get a link to our webinar. At least watch it on your own time if you can't today. We do have a webinar right after the show. So in about 15, 16, 17 minutes, something like that, we will be back with a live presentation online. If you have not signed up yet, do so at iriradio.com. We will have some Q&A time at the end of the program. And we have Charles just signed up, and Rick just signed up, and Don just signed up. My namesake there. Anyway, we're up to the end of the show. Lord willing, we are going to have another market update at the end of the month. You go to our website, you'll see the link for it also. If you want to talk to us during the week, it's 800-317-9119, 800-317-9119. We'll be glad to talk with you, give you a free analysis. God bless you and your family, and God bless the United States of America. Have a great weekend, folks.